This morning we're going to continue our study through the Bible, and we're going through now the beginning of God's kingdom on this earth. And our sermon this morning is a little different. Mostly, if you know, I like to take one passage and sort of expand upon it. But this one we're going to sort of move through the book of Acts, and because of that we have a few more passages. I don't know if you've ever noticed, I normally have 8 passages that we read every Sunday. And that's because that fits on 2 pieces of paper. Nothing more than that. But today I have 11, so it's a few more. But the message is going to be, how did the kingdom, how was it open to the world? If we go through the Gospels, and in the very beginning, it says that Jesus came preaching that the kingdom of God is near. From the very beginning, his message was that the kingdom was going to come to this earth, that the reign of God, God was going to be back with his people. And that was the message throughout his ministry. And it's the message that we're going to have today is, how was that kingdom, the message of the kingdom, how was it going to go forth to the whole world? If you notice the very the last words of Jesus, we've already, if you were at our Sunday school, you saw some of these. But at the very beginning, I'm at the very beginning. Well, we'll start with this one. At the very end of it, Jesus' ministry, and Matthew, he's appearing to his disciples right before he goes back to heaven, and he says these words to them. He says, "Now, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, if you notice what Jesus says, he gives them sort of their last commandment to go out, to make disciples. We're going to see baptizing them. That's the first step in making the disciples. And to obey all that I've commanded you. In other words, to be obedient to God. In Acts chapter 1, he says almost the same thing. Here Luke records to us, you, talking to the disciples, will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Notice, again, he talks about taking the message to all the nations, even to the very end of the earth. And that's what we're talking about just for a few minutes, how that was to be achieved. How is this message going to ring out from Jerusalem? It's going to start from just a few men there on the day of Pentecost, just a handful of people, and it's going to go through the whole world. How was that to be accomplished? How was the mission that Jesus came to this earth to do, how was it going to work? We have in Acts chapter 2 the first gospel sermon. The apostles are still there in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and says, like tongues of fire. And they present the message to the world at that time to the Jews there at Jerusalem. Peter goes through. He goes back to the words of David and shows them the scriptures that Jesus truly was the Messiah. He shows and reminds them of all the great miracles that Jesus performed, even how God raised him from the dead, the resurrection. And through these, Peter presents and opens doors to the kingdom for the first time. And now this message is going forth. And notice how Peter ends his message in Acts chapter 2. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." The idea of repentance is turning back and being obedient to God. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Now that removal of guilt, that new life in Christ can come about. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But now notice this last verse. "For the promise is to you, for your children, and all who are afar off, everyone that the Lord God Himself will call." That is one we'll be talking about really today. We see that the church, so to speak, the kingdom came there in Jerusalem. But how is it going to go to those who are far off? How is it going to go out to Samaria, to Judea, even, it says, to the end of the earth? Where if you go through the whole book of Acts, you see the story as it unfolds, and it goes to the end of the earth. And for the Jews at Jerusalem, the end of the earth pretty much was Rome. And that's where the book of Acts ends, is the very city of Rome. As the gospel message goes from Jerusalem to Rome. And it's really the story of the book of Acts, is how that goes about. How does God achieve that? Well, we see the door opens the first time there in Jerusalem. Peter preaches the first sermon, declares that Jesus is now both Lord and Christ, Lord and Savior of the world. And the Jews, they respond. It says 3,000 come that very first day. But how does the message go beyond Jerusalem? Well, God opens the next door. And the next door takes quite a bit of work on God's part if you go through. God picks first the person that's going to send the message, and that message is go from Peter. And so God sends an angel to Peter to prepare his heart and the message. He sends him a vision and prepares Peter. But God doesn't stop there. He prepares the person that he's going to take the message to, Cornelius. And an angel goes to Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is not just anybody. He's probably the most non-Jew you can think of because he's a Roman. Not only is he a Roman, but he's a Roman officer. And here's God's going to break down this barrier between the Jews and the nations by sending the message to a Roman officer. Now, Cornelius, we know, was a good man. He gave to the poor. He was God-fearing. But the angel prepares his heart and prepares the way for Peter. And Peter travels to Cornelius and takes some of the disciples with him. And he presents the message to Cornelius. He goes into the house of a Gentile. And we start seeing some of the walls that's going to prevent the message from ringing out. And one of those walls is the idea that a Jew could not even go into the house of, quote, a Gentile. Now, the word Gentile is used in the New Testament simply to refer to anyone who's not a Jew. And sometimes it's even translated as the nations. And so what he's saying is a Jew could not even go into a non-Jew's house to eat or have anything to do with them. But he goes to Cornelius and he preaches the word to Cornelius. And notice how that's received. And we see this in Acts chapter 10, how the message was received. While Peter was still saying these things, that is, telling them the story of Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. And the believers among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So now we see the wall broken down. Cornelius and his household are accepted. God shows his acceptance of them by letting them have the Holy Spirit. It says, just as Peter did, just as the apostles, they are on the first day of the kingdom, the day of Pentecost, when it came down on fire on their heads. It came down on these Gentiles, Cornelius and his household. And he could see their acceptance. And so Peter says, who can keep these people from becoming one of us? And they were baptized, and they were added to their number. And so the wall has been broken down. Almost. Not quite broken down. Because in chapter 11, notice what's said at the very beginning of chapter 11. Now, when the apostles and brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to an uncircumcised man and ate with them?" Notice what he's saying. You went in the house of a Gentile and ate with these people? That's what they're saying. The walls had been built around Jerusalem. They've been built around Israel, really. And these walls kept Israel separate from the nations. For over 1,000 years, the word of God had been that you don't eat certain foods. You don't have, basically, relationships with those outside of your Israel. He had built these walls through the eating of the foods that they ate, through the keeping of the Sabbath day, and all their traditions had kept Israel separate. These walls that were firm, and they kept Israel as a nation until the coming of Christ. But now, they have to be broken down. Because now the word has to go from Jerusalem and the Jews to the rest of the world. Well, how is that going to happen? And you can see, there's already a lot of conflict. At first, they accept the Gentiles, but they said, you know, you can accept these people, but you can't eat with them. You can accept these people, but you can't go into their houses. You see, these walls were built up. So they had to be broken down. So Peter tells them exactly what happened. God sent us to these people. He gave them the Holy Spirit. And notice what Peter says in his explanation in chapter 11. He said, if God gave them the same gift as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I to stand in God's way? And it's almost what he says at the end of chapter 10. How could he keep these people from being baptized? How could he stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God. Then the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. So now it seems like the door has finally been opened, that the message can go out to the whole world. Not quite. There's still a little bit of a roadblock here. Look at chapter 15 and see what happens here. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them, that is, the Gentiles, and order them to keep the law of Moses. This wall has not quite been broken down yet. What he's saying is, they believed, okay, it's all right for all these people to come to Christ, but they first have to become Jews. They first have to become circumcised. They have to be just like us for us to accept them. Have we ever been in that kind of a situation where people have to be just like us for them to accept them? Are we willing to accept those who aren't just like us? That was the problem the Jews had. How can we accept these Gentiles? How can we accept all these other people that haven't been obeying God all their lives, that haven't been obedient to God? And now we're just going to let them in into our midst, into our brotherhood, and be one of us? Do we ever have trouble with that? Do we ever have trouble accepting people that aren't just like us? Don't we try to make them just like us for us to accept them? The Jews had that problem. They had broken down the wall almost, but it was still there. How do they break it all the way down? And that's what we read about in Acts chapter 15. Is how they broke it all the way down. They called basically the whole church together, and Paul and Barnabas and some that have been with go down, and Peter's there. All the apostles are there, and they talk about it. And it says they actually debated this. Notice what it says. And after there had been much debate, they all discussed it, not in some back room, but all out in the open, the church and the elders and the apostles. And Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Here he's referring to how he took the message to Cornelius. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Here he's referring to, of course, what we've already talked about with Cornelius and his household. Now therefore, why are you putting God to test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now he's referring to the law and all of its ordinances. But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus, just as they will be. That we're saved by our grace, by our faith, by believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. As we've seen over, if we've gone back to John chapter 20 many times, John says, I write these things that you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. And that's what Peter's saying. And that's what they come to that conclusion. James ends up giving us the final conclusion in Acts chapter 15. He says, therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles, that is, the rest of the nations who turn to God. But you write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from the things been strangled, and from blood. And from the ancient generations Moses has been in every city, those proclaim him, and he is read in every Sabbath in the synagogues. What part of the law of Moses was still basically they're saying we're no longer saved by the law. He puts these ordinances, the idea of strangled by blood, and these, so that they could eat with each other. If you don't know how food's been prepared and it's not prepared the way that you can have it, it's hard for you to have fellowship. So what James is saying, the only part we're going to try to get the Gentiles to hold to is those that would keep us in fellowship with them. So we can have meals with them and have fellowship meals and have gatherings together. But besides that, We're not saved by the law anymore. We're setting our faith in Christ. In Ephesians, Paul brings this out very, very vividly to us. And notice how Paul really brings these ideas together and shows us what the mystery is. He said, when you read this, you can perceive my insights into the mystery of Christ. Now, when you first start reading that and you say, the mystery of Christ, well, first off, we love a mystery. Most of us, we watch mysteries on TV all the time, and somebody says, well, I've got a secret to tell you. Almost all of us want to listen to a secret. And that's what Paul says. This is a mystery. This was, God had this plan in place, but he hadn't made it known. He kept it hidden. It was a mystery. He said, this mystery, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations. All the way from the beginning, this had always been God's plan, but he had not made it known in the past. But now has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles, or fellow heirs and members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. This was the mystery, that this kingdom of God now was going to be open to everyone. It wasn't just going to be to select people. God was, in fact, when Peter goes to Cornelius, he says, you know, God is not a respecter of people. He wants all men everywhere to come to him. All people. The kingdom is now going to be open to everyone. Nobody is going to be favored over anybody else. The kingdom is open to all. Back in chapter 2, this happened because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And notice how Paul explains this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, remember those words all the way back there, what Peter said in the first sermon? He said, the promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off. Now, Paul is showing us how those that were far off, and that's you and I, we were those that were far away from from Israel, how we can come to the Lord. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood or the death of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and so reconciling us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and saints with the members of God's household, or the household of God, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows in a holy temple in the Lord. In him you yourselves are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. We are now all citizens of this nation of God. Whether we call it Israel or just call it the kingdom, it doesn't matter. We're all one. That's the point Paul makes down, and that's what Peter and the other apostles decided in Acts 15. And it's not through the law. We're no longer right with God by keeping the law. We're right with God because of what Christ did on the cross. And by that, he's broken down all the things that would divide us so that we can truly have fellowship. If you read through the book of Romans, if you read through Paul's writings, so much of what he writes is the idea of how can we all come together? How can we all really, all of us have different backgrounds. We all are different. How can we all accept each other and truly meet that great command that Christ gave us to love one another as ourselves, to love our neighbor, to keep that great command of the Lord? And we can do it because of what Christ said on the cross. Because we're no longer right with God by how good we are, how many good deeds we can show that we've done. But we're right with Christ because we believe in what he did for us on the cross. But as we end this lesson today, we need to understand that the very message always includes the idea of turning to God, the idea of obedience. That means that the commands, even though they're not the way that we're right with God through Christ. It doesn't mean that we disregard the great commands of God. Notice just a couple of scriptures, one in Matthew. Here, a young man comes to Jesus and he asks the teacher, what must I do for eternal life? What must I do to be saved and have this life that you're talking about? And he said to him, why do you ask me what is good? There's only one good, the Father. But if you would enter life, keep the commandments. If you want to truly have life, even now that leads to eternal life, keep the commandments of God. That's what Jesus says, a very simple thing. He then lists some of those commands, and some of those we call the Ten Commandments. He lists some of those, but he also lists some others that weren't. The commands of God simply means all the things that God has given us to live by. They should be a lamp to our feet. They should give up. They give us life when we are obedient to them. Paul says it very simply back in 2 Timothy. All Scripture, all these words that God has given us, is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All the commands of God lead us to life. And it goes back to the very first sermon that Peter gave. He said, repent and be baptized. The idea of repentance is being obedient to God, coming back to God and living for Him. The kingdom, then, is open to all of us when we come to the Lord in faith and repentance to our Lord and Savior. 5 points in the sermon is yours this morning. Jesus taught that the kingdom would be for all the world. It's not for any select few. It's not for just an elite group of people. Christ died for everyone. God so loved the whole world that He gave His Son. The kingdom brings us into a new relationship with God and true forgiveness of our sins. The forgiveness of our sins means not that we don't pay the penalty for them, but the lawless acts themselves are no longer remembered by our Lord. God does not favor any people over any other people. Jesus died for the whole world. The kingdom is open in a new covenant. Jesus brings that out when He gave the first Lord's Supper, that this is the covenant that I'm making with you, the new covenant that's made by my death on the cross. And by this new covenant, He could open the kingdom to the whole world. The commands of God bring us life. When we're obedient to God and obedient to His commands, we truly live the life that He wants us, the full and abundant life that comes only through Jesus Christ. This morning, our message has been that the kingdom is open for all. The kingdom is there for every one of us. Christ died for you. He died for me. He died for anyone, all the world. But we have to accept Him. We have to, as Peter says, repent and come to Him and be baptized into His name. The kingdom is open for all who will receive the kingdom. But we have to receive it. This morning, if you've never received Christ and never put Him on in baptism, arise and to walk a new life with Him. There will never be a better time than this morning. Or if you've started that walk, but you haven't been obedient to it, there's never a better time to become obedient to your Lord and Savior than right now. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.